for anniversary. I like it because it got peaches is always in my circle. Yeah. I'm thinking,
I
was
like, Miss
Charlotte for doing this. She did her research on it.
So, thank you so much, Miss Charlotte.
Beautiful.
It just feels so good to live in the land of appreciation, man.
Yes.
And I tell you, it's don't let nobody get you out of just taking time to appreciate a person. It's nothing negative that's gonna come from it. Amen. Your life is gonna continue to expand, grow, love. As you love other people love you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you understand this life, it's a rhythm to life. And once you get to understand this rhythm, you don't get out of rhythm.
Uh-huh.
You don't let somebody else send you out of the rhythm of thanksgiving and gratefulness. This song that we were singing, gratefulness, this morning, should not just be a theme song. It should be a pattern. When we say grateful, that should be your clock. That should be your clock. Don't let somebody talk you out of that clock. Don't let somebody talk you out of that gratefulness, okay? But this person got on my nerve. No, keep back. Saying gratefulness, saying that MOA. And this message is called Taking Your Life Back. Because some of you all have been deceived by the great deceiver, which is the enemy, Satan, Lucifer. He got all different types of names. I've heard more names of Lucifer than God, which should not be. Because the whole tactic is to get your mind on Lucifer and not on Jesus.
No.
The one who slang. You know, when I play basketball, football, I know when I'm going to beat somebody because they're more focused on me than winning. And if you're more focused on me than the opponent, or you more focused on the, I'm going to see, that person's going to try to get you. No, you should be focused on winning. And that's the same thing with Christ. You shouldn't be focused on what the world is doing to you. You should be focused on where you're going. Amen. Taking your life back, you should understand it's already back. Because he got your back. But the deception is, I don't have my life. And I have to have a way to get my life. When you don't have an understanding that Jesus paid for your life. And if you don't understand, if you don't take care of your heart first, then you can't deal with anything else. You know, I told you a story once before about how my grass had all these weeds on it. And I was trying to get the weeds. I put the spray on there. The spray didn't work. I was looking at the trees, and me and Keisha, maybe these trees are getting into our yard and having some type of effect of making weeds grow, and it wasn't the trees. You know, I even took the whole yard up and put sod on the yard. I was like, that's it. It's gonna work now. And then the weeds came right back until I had an understanding that it was something in the soil. There were worms in the soil. There are these things, I don't even know the name of them, what you call them. But they were growing up and they was creating weeds in our yard. And I dealt with so many other things except for the real problem, which was the ground. And sometimes that's what we do. We look in the mirror, then we put a band-aid on the mirror. Okay. Y'all ain't get that one. We look at life. It's the president's fault. It's this person's fault. No, listen. If you don't understand, if you don't change your heart first, then nothing will grow out of it. The Bible is not lying. Everything that's coming is out of the issue of whose heart? The people that's coming out of Congress' heart, right?
Yeah.
Your heart.
It's the issues of, we sing this morning. Coming. You know what's going to happen to me today? I'm going to have more gratefulness. You know why? Because those are the issues of my heart. Have you ever thought about somebody and you ain't seen a long time? And then next thing you know, they pop up somewhere.
Yeah.
You know why? Because it was in your heart. The issues that are in your heart, you will see them eventually.
Yeah.
That's the reason why the Bible says protect your heart. For in it flows the issues of what? Issue of gratefulness in your heart, you're going to see it's gratefulness today. If forgiveness is in your heart, you're going to see forgiveness today. Forgive as I've forgiven you. If you don't forgive your brother the way I've forgiven you, then what? You won't be forgiven because forgiveness is not in your heart. We want it, but we don't want to give it. If God can get it through you, he can give it to you. So the first thing is place it in your heart. The first thing is to have an understanding that whatever is in my heart, that is what's going to grow out of the life.
Amen.
John 14:30 says, "And I will not talk with you much more. For the prince of evil, the genius ruler of this world, which is who? Which is who? Are y'all with me? Are y'all with me? Okay. the prince of who? Evil. Who is that? The devil. Okay. Let's make sure y'all with me. And he has no what? Claim on me. He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me. Holy Spirit, help me get this message out. Because if you understand this, this is one of the most powerful messages I will probably ever preach. Satan can't talk to you unless he has something related to you. David says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." You know what Satan is? He's full of wants.
Yeah.
You have no wants because you have a father that loves you. So your wants are quenched. Mm. So when the disciples didn't understand, they were coming to kill Jesus. And Jesus says, "They have nothing in me. Let them come." What he's saying is that Satan only uses what's inside of you that's attached to him. If you have nothing attached to him and he has nothing in common with you, he can't use you. He can only use something that you all have in common related to. Let me give you an issue. I remember I was in college and somebody stole something dearly from me. And I remember putting my hands on this boy because he took something from me, and we got to a scuffle. Thank God he didn't call the cops on me. But I remember explaining to this one person why I had to put hands on. I said, "Well, he stole my brother." And the dude said, "When are you still wrong?" I said, "Why am I wrong? He stole from me." He said, "What did it cause you to do?" James 4:1 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You desire, but do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God."
Amen.
When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. It's not about getting what you want. It's how it's going to come. Why do you want it? I want to be a millionaire. Why? You know, I tell people this, and you can Google this, research, and I'm not against prosperity, amen? Prosperity is mine. But prosperous people have a 4x rate of killing themselves than poverty. Do you understand that people that win the lottery, 95% of them have a worse life in the next 5 years? It's not about just wanting money. Because what happens is money try to give you your identity and it will pervert you. I don't want money. I use money for the purpose of the glory of God. If you don't use money, you're going to let money use you and become a hoarder. Don't you understand that the wealth of the sinner is laid up for me? For the just. You are the just. You are not a hoarder. You, it's supposed to revolve around you so it won't pervert you. That's why it says it's more blessed to give than to receive.
Yeah.
Why? You're supposed to be flowing through you. Flowing through you, not an order. So if you have an understanding of this, when I give the blessing, I give it right back out. I get it. And it flows. If you go to Africa, it's a place called the Dead Sea. And people get minerals and riches from the land. And you know why? Because it can't nothing flow out of it. Can't nothing grow out of it. Can't nothing move out of it. Because it's dead. Why? If nothing comes out. But when you're full of life, that means that when I get something, I'm giving it. I get something, I get it. Live a life where you're refreshing others, and you will be refreshed. If you live as a hoarder, you will carry around all these bags that you're supposed to be distributing out. Amen?
Amen.
Let's keep going. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with the wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your flesh. Whatever's inside of you, you need to give it to the Lord. And He will satisfy that hunger. He will satisfy that thirst. He will show you that He loves you, and He will make you whole again. Mm-hmm. He will show you that in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist, but it's perfect, complete, fully grown. Love drives out fear, because fear involves, let me see, fear involves this. What's God going to do for me? We had that brother Nate come and bless people. But I know it's people like, please don't prophesy with me, because you're going to see all the bad things I'm saying. No, that's not who Jesus is. Jesus is good. The person that buried their talent buried it because they did not think that God was a good God. Think about this. Fear paralyzes you. It has nothing to do with you.
Come on, bro.
Love allows you to have a free flowing life because there's no fear that lives in you. You're not afraid to make mistakes. So I can do an investment, I can do a business deal and not care. Why? Because I know it's coming right back. Love is not scared to say something. Well, I ain't going to say nothing to him, they're going to get the big head. No, that's not your job. You are not over the big head committee. You are in the love committee. God gives you the ministry of reconciliation, forgiveness, peace. I can love because my past, the things I've done in the past is healed. But you did this when you put him, I'm forgiven. My presence is good because I'm not tortured by my past. My future is good because I know after this carnal flesh body go down to the ground, my spirit is going to be with him. So I'm good over here. I'm good right here. I'm good right here. That's what you call wholeness. As you walk in wholeness, you're not walking in insecurities. You're not walking in wants. So somebody can come to me with a pyramid scheme and you have... I can say the same thing there. You have nothing in me. Because you're scheming. Ain't nobody hit you with a pyramid scheme.
I know all about it.
I done heard about every pyramid, I'm sovereign scheme, all of it. They're schemes to try to trap you. Listen, man. Satan is the biggest schemer, because he don't believe in sowing and reaping. I'm just going to get it instantly. The reason why Satan can't get it, because he has no patience. You have patience because you're a son of God. I can wait forever, baby, for the promises of God to happen. I ain't got to move one inch out of my heart to try to make it happen. Because I know that God is a good God. And as I'm sitting, I'm missing all temptations that I would have bit on, but I ain't, because I ain't no hungry fish. I ain't no starving. I'm so desperate I need it. I'm only reaching for what God got for me, and I ain't reaching for nothing else. I ain't looking up no skirts. I ain't doing nothing. I'm only getting what God got for me. And if you understand this theme of life, you will have life. But if you're thirsty, that means you're not quenched. If when you're thirsty, that means perfect love hasn't touched you yet. You're either tortured by your past, you're tortured by your future, or you're tortured by your presence. Be whole in every area of life. But wonder if you knew what I don't know, if you knew how what he forgave you.
Come on, man.
Which one are you focused on, amen?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah,
thank you,
Pastor.
So the first one is, it's not about your mistakes. Forgive yourselves. The Pharisees trying to make it about what you've done wrong. That what did you do to miss out on your blessings? You got the enemy in your camp. We got to pray it out. Listen, man. The enemy is in your mind that makes you think that you have to be qualified in a sense to having everything perfect. Brother Nate showed you all those slides of things that was holding him back. He let you know that his father left him. He let you know that he was poor. He let you know he didn't have nothing. But still, he's all around the world.
Come on.
Your disqualifier is in your mind. It's in your soil of what you're believing in and what you're not believing in. So once you get this right, you get set free.
Yeah.
John 9:1 says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciple asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Yes. They're looking for the mistakes instead of looking for the Messiah. Which one of them sinned? He said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus. But this happened, so the work, for one, he was sin sick. He was blind since birth.
Right.
The Pharisees are ignorant. So he was in the womb, my buddy, I'm here. No, no. He says, neither this man or his parents. It's not about the sin issue. This is about a God issue. Anything that's opposite in your life, it's about the glory of God that's needed to be revealed in your life. So stop looking at the absentee and start looking at the glorification of what's happening. He said, it's not about this man being blind. Why are you making it about who sinned to make him blind? We are born into sin. When you come into this world, you come into this world jacked up. That's why you need Jesus. Number 4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That means this. When somebody comes to you with your problem, you are not there as Dr. Phil. You are there to show them the cross. This is not hard, y'all. This is not brain science. This is not hard. Your job is to let them know that you are set free in Jesus.
Amen.
And to let them know, you first have to believe
it. Yes, yes.
It's a lot of people that's trying to preach themselves instead of preaching the cross. And when you do that, then what happens is you bring a frustration of the people because they still don't know how to get out the hole. You don't get out the hole, you look at Jesus that's outside of your hole. He is the light, and he will guide you out of the darkness by forgiveness, by love, by mercy, by his grace. That brother didn't have a penny, and he still did ministry. The sight of your mind is you're so focused on sin that you're not focused on the Redeemer that has alleviated you out of sin.
Come on,
man.
We didn't have a van that's picking up all these wonderful people. So we said, you know what? We're going to believe for a van. It started in the mind.
Amen.
It started in the heart. Amen. It started by love. Then we said, let's do a fundraiser. We got a couple of dollars here. We got a couple of dollars there. Anybody? And then one person said, you know what? God touched my heart. Give $8,000. Boom.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay. And then we went to go buy a van. Mm-hmm. What I'm telling you, that the earth is the Lord's.
Yes, it is.
And the fullness thereof.
Yes.
But if you don't start it, if you don't have a step of faith, you don't do nothing, it's because you're being lied to. Why are you believing for a man that costs $50,000 when you ain't got a penny? Because God says the earth is the you would be the first person that break the mold out of your family. Not because it's, oh my God. Stop preaching about what you see and stop preaching about some of these unseen things that you're so scared to tell people about. They're not scary. It's supposed to be out there. And don't be scared to tell it.
Right.
I was talking to my brother Jacob. He's not here today, but we was looking at cars. He ain't have no car. I said, somebody got a car in your price range. We went to one person, another person. It's been 4 weeks and we've been looking. When I don't know, I said, it's somewhere, Jacob. I don't hear it. I ain't gonna let you talk down to me. If you with me, we gonna win. Then I seen one that was in his price range. I gave him a call. I said, now we need to go. I went to Austin this week, picked him up. We went there, seven deals. He got caught. He drove off the lot. They take action. The pressure comes when you sleep. No, wake up. Because he shouldn't have said nothing to Joseph, and Joseph shouldn't have told him about the dream he had. Let me tell y'all something, man. Put your seatbelts on. Buy insurance. Do what's wise. But if you have a dream in you, you got to tell it. Because if you don't communicate with it, if you don't, and you know what? You're going to have failures. You're going to fall. You're going to bump your head. But don't look at the haters. Look at the participators.
Come on, man.
Look at the people that connected. God has connected me with a great amount of people that helped me with the dream that I have. You are not the only one.
Jesus.
Tell the people that ain't gonna gospel about your dream. Tell the people that's gonna love you. Tell the people that's gonna cooperate with you. Tell the people that's gonna pray with you. Fast with you. You are not by yourself. Joseph, when they threw him in the pit, his dream took 30 years to come up alive. But they couldn't stop him. Jesus, they killed him. But he had to come back and say, look at the wounds in my hands. I want to show you, Thomas, they can't stop me. Your life is not about trying to protect all the bullets. That's too busy. It's too many bullets. Your job is to say, Lord, what does your word say? You are going to get me out because your word is indestructible. It's undeniable. You can't count your haters. You must count your blessings. Some of us missed the mark because and missing the mark is seeing why you're not qualified. Missing the mark is counting why you're disqualified or you're counting what Jesus qualifies you for. I don't want to hear nobody. Pity party don't do nothing for you.
Come on, man.
Nothing for you.
Right.
Think about it. It don't make you no money.
Yeah.
It don't pay your bills.
Yeah.
It shrinks your hippocampus system, that area in your ground, in your brain where creativity happens. It actually, scientists say, it's tearing down your organs. It does nothing for you. So I don't want none part of it. pity party because it's not productive. This is a business decision. I don't want it. I choose joy. Joy is productive. Joy brings me back. Joy is something that keeps moving. So I'm going to choose this. Oh, I ain't got no choice. My emotions just take over me and I... It's it. I really don't have a choice. That's a lie that you believe.
Yes.
Let me tell you something, man.
Amen.
Emotions hit me too.
Yes.
But when they hit me, you have to understand. It's just like you drive down the street. You're going to see Dairy Queen to the left.
Yeah.
You're going to see Popeyes to the right. You're gonna, yeah. But until you pull in and you say, give me a chicken sandwich.
Mm.
It's not yours yet. I remember being tortured as a kid. Like, oh! I'm at church, I can't be thinking about this. Oh, it's coming through my No. Listen. Let me go and say, I know what you're trying to tell people, say, I see it, but it ain't for me.
Come on, man.
That's how you resist the devil. You don't resist the devil by saying, I'm gonna block every thought that comes to me. That's impossible. You resist the devil by saying this.
Come on.
If it goes in your head, I'm gonna look at you, but I'm not buying. You have the choice to buy it or not to buy it. How do you buy it? By investing in it. By putting your time in it. Focusing on it. You don't have to buy your depression. You can just drive right on by. Well, I used to be depressed, but Jesus set me free. So I'm not going to turn left. We don't need to put up on it. We're going to drive right by. Psychology says you're living in denial when you do that.
No way.
You're suppressing it. It's really there. It's really there. No, it's not.
Yeah.
Not if I don't invest in it.
Yeah.
I get the devil mad because I don't even give him no time.
You better talk.
People come to me, when the devil talking about you? Oh, yeah, because you know how good Jesus is. What the we ain't talking about? Oh man, nothing but the blood. He has no arena in my mind. He should have no arena in your mind. You give him permission to have arena by what you entertain, what you dwell in, what your mind is. It's your house. Why do you want it in there?
Come on.
What is the cost of you having it?
My goodness.
Amen.
I'd rather live in a shelter than be battered in the world.
Amen.
Ain't no penny that you can put on my head to make me stay in depression.
Come on now.
Man.
And people sell out every day.
This word is fire, lava, molten lava.
It takes a step of faith, God. I keep telling people this, but I think it keeps flying by. You have to buy in.
Amen.
You have to believe. I once seen a man I worked with called, his name was Matt Miller. A lot of people are like, where are you coming? Like, Brother Tate, Nate, man, Tate came last week.
Tim.
I keep saying Tate. Nate came last week. Where are you finding this guy? Well, it comes by always asking questions. And being inquisitive.
Mm-hmm.
Saying, I want to learn more, God, and then God brings you more.
Amen.
I remember I was at Freeway Foundation so frustrated one time. And it was a good organization. I taught 10,000 kids not to get on drugs and how to be violence prevention. And I was getting paid a good salary. I was getting frustrated because I wanted to preach to them Jesus. But I didn't have a way. And I remember I was going to force my way one time. I said, I'm going to take one of these kids that want to know about Jesus. Hey, you want to know about Jesus in the hallway? Almost got in trouble, okay? And I said, God, I want to. He said, you shouldn't have no wants.
Mm.
If you do, you know what the Bible says, bring it to me. Pray for it. Have you prayed about all these desires? Mm. I said, yeah, but you don't care. He said, no. The problem is you are carrying those baggages, and you're not bringing it before me. What do you want, son? He said, don't you know I'm the one that placed the desires in your heart to want to see those kids say? He says, but bring it to me. So I brought him to him. I said, Lord, I want to go into these schools and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I didn't see nothing for 6 months after the desire. And then next thing you know, a man came to me. Now check this out. Another man donated $1 million to start a ministry to go into the schools to preach the gospel. And he came upon my doorstep and asked me. His name is Curl Henry. He's on the radio right now. He says, I believe this is a divine intervention. Do you like preaching the kids? He knew I worked for a Freeway Foundation. I said, yeah. Do you want to preach in that school? Because we're looking for a person that can train a pastor for every church, every school that we go into to preach the gospel. We just had an amendment that we can go into the school and preach the gospel. Can you help us, son? I said, listen, God told you to talk to me.
Yeah.
So let's go. Why are we talking? This is a dilemma, though. I worked at UPS. UPS has great benefits and a good package. As soon as I was going to say, I don't know, because I got these good benefits, so I ain't trying to leave this job right now. Lord, can I do both? And I couldn't do both. He said, I got y'all ain't hearing me. You gotta let something go to get the blessing.
And
God has to. Some of y'all dreams postponed because you won't let something go.
That's right.
You gotta let something go to get to the next place.
That's right.
Sometimes you gotta let a bitter friend that is love and flame go. I've had to let those go before. But they ain't gonna talk to me no more. Then you're choosing where you're going. But don't say that you're not choosing. You're choosing. You're just choosing to stay there. If I want to get down to 200 pounds, I must stop choosing donuts. let me tell you something, man. I've been fighting this battle my whole life. And I ain't gonna blame no devil. This is the reason why the world look at church folks like, y'all crazy. You're making this choice. The devil may make a proposal to you, but you're still making a choice. So when I teach and preach to people about your choices, no, I want you to rub some oil on my head and magically make this happen, Wendell.
Jesus.
No, you need to be healed here. Now check this out. Once you're satisfied here, your taste will change. Because Jesus says, oh, taste and see. This is what makes, I had a crew that I hung out with, because back in my day over Walnut Park, people getting jumped, going back and forth. He had these GDs that were jumping people for no reason. So I hung out with a clique that said, y'all ain't gonna jump with them no more. But this clique got violent. beat people up. And I said, you know what, God? This ain't productive. And I said, hey, y'all, I'm out.
Yeah.
You know why I'm out? Because God is gonna protect me from that.
Right.
And I walked back at home, boy, ain't nobody ever touched me. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because I gave my life over to God now. You don't have to study war no more. You ain't got a gang bang. Why? Because you should be quenched in here. Once you quenched in here, no weapon formed against you should possibly sound a little different. You bought in.
Yeah.
And the reason why a lot of people are not feeling the peace, because you haven't bought in yet. You haven't taken that step of faith and said, no, I'm gonna leave y'all. I know y'all was trying to protect me. I don't need your protection no more.
Yes, come on.
Jesus is going to be my protection.
Yes,
that's
right.
Buy in, y'all. Mm-hmm. I could talk about, man, I made 33% off of Amazon. If you put $5,000 in, you can make $2,000 this year. You go, oh, man, that's cool, Wendell. That's cool. I could preach a dynamic message. Man, that was a good word. But you can walk around that door and do the opposite thing. It's not about how good I preach.
Yeah.
It's not about if I tell you about a stock that can increase you 50%. It's about you saying, what time does that close? Okay, where do I write the check out to?
Yeah.
Invest it. It's time to buy in and stop talking Christian.
Come on, man.
And sow Christianity. You're not getting results and you're frustrated because you're not buying in. I had a good cousin of mine, and dear cousin of mine, You know, I have a brother named Matt Miller. He walked up to a millionaire and he said, the Lord told you to sow, and this is why I'm working with CEO. He said, the Lord told you to sow $100,000 to our ministry. And the brother said, God told me to sow $100,000 where you walked up to me, Matt. And so here, I got the check. Ooh. I'm walking, I said, what type of stuff is this? How to listen to the voice of God the way you are. And he did. And so what I'm teaching you is, see, stop staying in your circle. There's a life outside of your circle of God and people that know how to touch the realms of God that you don't. But first you have to say, I don't know, God, show me. And the person will show up. And it might not be your cup. It might not look like, it might be Chinese. It might be something else. But you need to start learning. Not just from me, but from others. Anyway, I say all this to say this, that Matt Miller was willing to pay for a cousin of mine that wanted to go into Africa. And for some reason, I was on the, we all was in cubicles at this time. And I said, you just talked to this person named such, such, such. He said, yeah. I said, that's my cousin. I said, yeah, he was talking about some type of missionary work. And I said, oh, yeah, he probably ain't got the funds, so, you know. And he was like, you know what, I'll pay his way. I said, you what? The biggest way to go to Africa? He said, yeah, I'll pay. I said, oh, God. I said, I'm going to go tell him right now. He said, nope. Don't tell him. I'm like, dude, no. Why don't you tell him? This is good news, not bad news. He said, no, I want to see if he wants it. So next time I see my cousin, I'm trying to give away all the signs. So I'm like, okay, I can't tell him, but how can I indirectly tell him? If you got some good news, don't tell me to tell people. I'm gonna want to tell so bad. So I said, what's up, man? I heard you was gonna do that missionary thing. When you think about it, you say, man, I ain't got it. You know I ain't got $1,000. Come on, stop playing with me, Brandon. That's what they call me, Brandon. I said, I know, but you never know what God may do. What you gonna do? Hey, just call. He said, no. I said, okay. Just call just to see, because sometimes they have like grants and stuff. No, and he got so irritated. He said, no, I'm not calling. Man, that was a sad day. I was in cuffs. And the only thing he had to do was call. And it was already there. Listen, don't keep me in cuffs up here. Y'all got dreams. And I say, just call. Get on the phone. Set up a booth in the back. Do something. Don't let your seed die inside of you. Take a step of faith. It's waiting for you. It's paid off. You may not see it. That's why you're not sowing. But it's there. If he would have just called, he would have had, hey, I ain't got the money, but I want to do it. And he would have heard, it's already done.
Come on.
God is not waiting for your perfection. He's waiting for your humbleness.
Come on now.
He's waiting for you to surrender. This game is about surrendering more than anything else. Are you just willing to be there? Just show up. Just your presence. I didn't know what I was doing when I was doing support trying to raise to get a van. I just showed up. And somebody said, I'm going to donate $8,000 for you all to get the van. I just showed up for counseling. When I graduated, I didn't have an office. Until somebody said, we're going to pay for your office supplies. We're going to pay for your insurance window. And we're going to have your office in Bridgeton. And you'll never have to pay a dime for this office. Because God told us that this is a divine moment. And we are supposed to take care of you. Because you are taking care of God's people. It's called living in the divine land. Divine, nobody can stop divine.
Come on.
It could be 100 missiles coming over here. But because you're holy, because he's holy, and you're living in a divine place, then nothing can stop you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
They threw all these babies in the river, but they couldn't stop Jesus from coming.
Come on.
Do you understand that you're walking in that same divinity? So you can't compare yourself with other people.
Come on, bro.
Come on now.
1,000 may fall to your left, 10,000 may fall to your right, but it shall not come near you.
Come on now.
So stop estimating Sister Sue with you.
Come on now.
All right.
You're walking under a different covenant.
Come on now.
It's not your job to worry about Sister Sue. It's your job to submit to God and say, Lord, what is my assignment? Because I'm here with a purpose, and I'm not going to let this dream die inside of me.
Amen. Amen. Tell it.
Amen. Take a step of faith.
Yeah.
Don't let God call you and you don't call him back. Don't let your dream die inside of you because somebody hating on you. It may be somebody in your family that ain't supporting you. But you are not a prisoner waiting for them to support you so dearly. You are not here saying, oh, they want them to call me. They may never call you. Sometimes you gotta touch the face. I'm just gonna step in.
Yeah.
What happened if you fell? Well, at least I fall trying.
Come on. Come on.
I'm not going to die in regrets.
Yeah. That I didn't do nothing at all.
Yes.
Pain going to happen anyway. But it's two types of pain. It's the pain of sacrifice and the pain of regrets.
Yeah.
You choose which pain you want.
Yeah.
I'd rather choose sacrifice than choose regrets.
Yeah.
But you're going to choose one, whether you like it or not.
That's good.
You're making your choice right now. What do you choose? You're making your choice. Buy in. When I say some people buy in, some people don't. Like I said, I can say Amazon got a wonderful stock that you make sure you can. And this is not a big deal on Amazon. I'm just using it as an illustration. You can either say, okay, Edward Jones, do blah, 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 blah. That's buying in. Buying in is not saying that's a wonderful message. Buying in is saying, what am I going to do with this message? How is this message today, on September the 15th, what am I going to incorporate from here on out? And now a rhetorical question. What are you going to do? 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by what?
Faith.
Not by
sight.
We are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present means to be present with the Lord. There's going to be a day where this body ain't going to hold you anymore. But while you're here to experience him now.
Amen.
You know why I go on a fast sometimes? I go on a fast because sometimes this body is stopping my process of being truly present with him. And so sometimes I have to kill the desires off of me because all these wants are pulling down from my relationship with God. Because when I'm with him, I get healed. When I'm with him, I become whole. When I'm with him, I recognize there's a life outside what I can see, taste, hear, smell.
Yes.
Do you know that when your senses close down, if you go blind, automatically your ears increase in strength and wavelength? Now check this out. When you block down other senses, like your sense of taste, sense of other stuff, you have another sense that Christ has awoken inside of you that he wants you to be more aware of. Because some people tell me, God ain't talked to them in 5 years. No, God is talking. It's just other things are so loud in your life, you can't hear him. And you haven't took a step of faith in 5 years, so you haven't seen the evidences of God, so you're living in frustration. The Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good means he wants you to buy in. So what are you sowing into? Oh yeah, buying in don't mean that you came to church for 10 years.
Come on.
Buying in is saying, I came to church for 10 years, and outside of that, I believe, and I act on that belief.
My God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I'm about done. But you know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof.
Yes, yes, yes.
That means that don't let the outside world tell you that what should be glamorous is the money, the fame, the how you look, your appearances. No. He called them whitewashed tombs. He called certain people certain names because there's some people don't got money. Money got them. Mm-hmm. You use money because you are using it. You don't let it use you.
Right.
And that's about every relationship that God places you with. Everybody stand to your feet. Amen. There's a declaration that God wants you to make today. And it's a step of faith to make these declarations because you don't see them. I don't deal with what you can see. I deal with what God is moving you to. The next level. Amen. Say, God's taking me to a whole different level. And I will never in my life be paralyzed for what I see. I'm not waiting for family.
I'm not waiting for friends.
I'm not waiting for my flesh to feel good by what God told me. I'm making a step of faith today. Today, man. Today is the day of salvation. There is no tomorrow. It's only today. And when you get to tomorrow, guess what the deception is? Then, when you get there, then that will be today. Think about this. You're not moving in tomorrow. You're moving in the presence.
Yes.
I'm just waiting for my money here right now. Listen, man. You'll be waiting forever. I'm just waiting for that person to forgive you. Guess what? What happened to that person not alive anymore to forgive you? When I tell you you're God's children, you believe in that is walking in forgiveness, wholeness, and knowing that you are good for the rest of your life. And if I make a move, if I make a mistake, then my daddy's going to brush me off and we're going to move to the next one. There should nothing be holding you back. No sin, no saint, no devil, no mountain that is put before you should be containing the seed that God has in you. He called his seed indestructible. That means can't nothing kill it except for you and your decisions and your choices. Why didn't he just make Adam? Why didn't he just say no? I'm not. No, because he don't want robots. He didn't make you out of a bird. A bird don't have a choice but to fly for God and sing for God. They don't have a choice. He made you out of the image of himself, so you have a choice.
Yeah.
You have a choice. Choose wisely, because nobody loves you like God. Gang members could not love me like God. Your friends can't love you. Your parents can't love you like God. The Lord says, I'm taking y'all into some solitude. Solitude is where God talks to you in a secret place. And some of y'all have been hiding these dreams, scared to tell people about it. And it's time for these dreams to start flying.
Amen.
I see so many of y'all in the cage. And I've opened the cage up by the word of God. But y'all still not flying. Some of y'all still in the cage waiting. I'm waiting. Guess what? If you fly and you fall, that's alright. It's alright. Because Jesus is going to be there to pick you up. You know how many ministry y'all have been up that have fell on their face? It's okay. I don't look at it as failure. I look at it as learning. You are not a failure as long as you're in the God regime. You are a victor. You have the victory. Everybody say, I have the victory.
I have the victory.
In Christ Jesus.
In Christ Jesus.
It don't matter how many times I fail.
It matters because he prevailed.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Did y'all hear what y'all said? Your victory lies in Jesus. Not in yourself. This is not about self-esteem. This is about Christ's esteem. Oh, man, Brother Nate, he was laying hands doing all this. But guess what? Like I said, he said his father left him. He said he was dirt poor in the trailer home. But he said he stepped out anyway. By a word.
Yes.
A word is more powerful than money. A word is more powerful than any two-edged sword. When the Bible says my word is more powerful than a sword is tangible. It's something that you can see that can cut. But he says, I'm more realer than that.
Yes.
If you move off my word, ain't nothing stopping. So there's a word today that God wants you to move off of. That you got today. I want you to write that down. How is today's message going to change the rest of your life? Don't leave out this door before you write that down. You can put it in your phones. You can say, from this day forward, I will disconnect any gossip conversation. From this day forward, I'm putting some applications in. From this day forward, I would disconnect from people who don't want no good for my life. From this day forward, how does this message impact your life? Ain't y'all tired of just hearing good messages without doing nothing?
Yes. Come on now.
I'm tired of it. But some of y'all, you have been doing something. Amen. And I've acknowledged that too. This is not the goosebumps message.
Oh, yes, it would.
It could be. Some people told me that. He said, guess how I know God talked to me? Look at this. I got the goosebumps. That means God said something to me. Oh, Lord. I got the goosebumps. I said, listen, man. Unless those gooses are making you make action steps, it's nothing but an emotional ride. You can go to the Apollo and get that. You can hear a seminar. No, this is not an emotional ride. This is a reality. It's more blessed to give than to receive. This is my reality. See, some people are preaching this and it sounds so dull. That's because you ain't living it. When you're living it, it's exciting. Because I'm not preaching something I don't live by.
Come on, man.
I've held my tongue before and watched God fight my battles and vindicate me better than I've vindicated myself. So when I say it, it got a different feeling on it.
Yes, sir.
It got a different sting to it when I say it from forgive others so you yet can forgive other people. Nah. Forgive is better for you. Forgive, man. Forgive your father, man. I hear that in the spirit right now. Some of y'all need to forgive y'all fathers for doing y'all wrong. He a better daddy to you. Some of y'all put the physical father as G-O-D father. Can't nothing replace your heavenly father, man. Don't compare your physical father to your heavenly father. Your heavenly father is not to be compared with no other. That's the reason why it's so hard for people to worship. Because you put all of this in the gumbo land. I'm worshiping this person that did me wrong. I'm worshiping God. I'm worshiping. No. You're supposed to separate him. That's what holiness means. I'm separated. I'm the one that's causing you to breathe in and out right now. I'm the one that forgave you. I'm the one that loved you. I'm the one that told your mom, don't get that abortion. I'm the one that cares about you. Don't put me in the gumbo pot with everybody else. I'm good all the time. He's better than me. I told y'all a story recently about how a woman hit me and I was gonna pay her bill for this car, and how, you know, y'all remember that story? And then the police came and she was like, well, I don't wanna pay for it. He's like, you in the wrong. And her sister got locked. It was a bad situation. And I remember she tried to call me, can you still pay for it? I said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. But I thought about it, that story, I said, you know what? God won't do that. God said, yeah, I'll pay for it. See, that's how he's different from me. He's better than me, man. See, that's why you can't put him. See, you may call me, I might be asleep. God is never asleep. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He has all these names so he can separate him from other people. You should never look at me as God. I'm not God. I go to sleep sometimes because I need rest. But while I'm resting, you can call on him. And he'll never hang up the phone on you. He'll always be there for you, man. He'll always give you a second chance. We may not give you a second chance. We may need to keep our look on. But God says, I got more for you.
Come on.
An incident that I did in college where I put my hands on somebody's neck. He says, don't worry, Wendell, I love you anyway.
Yeah.
I bet you that person's mother wasn't saying that to me. I may be telling too much, but you know what? I'm letting you know what's real, man. God loves you past your own brain.
Yeah.
Don't even let your own mental capacity block you from God loving you.
Right.
God, you just don't know how much I betrayed you. He said, I know, and I still love you. Are you going to limit to me loving you because of all of your mistakes, or are you going to allow me to love you?
Yeah, come on.
You see, the reason why you don't want that is because you don't want to forgive other people.
Ooh. Ooh.
Ooh, that. Now, you ain't had to bring that in. Because if I really embrace you, God, I really got to embrace other people. I got to forgive. I got to set people free. Why? Because he set me free. So if you want to keep this freedom, the Bible did not lie. Forgive others as your heavenly Father forgave who?
You.
What the Bible say? Not me. If you do not forgive others, guess what? That means that God's not flowing through you. Some of y'all close the gate because one person you don't want to forgive. It's not worth it, y'all. And forgiveness don't mean you're saying what that person did was right. Forgiveness means, I know you hurt me, but I'm still going to live life. I'm still going to love me. I'm going to not let that father that left you, don't allow that to be a label on your forehead. The label on your forehead should be, I'm free. The label on your forehead should be, I'm healed. The label on your forehead should not be, some of y'all don't even know that your countenance, you can't have nobody. Your countenance, you're walking out your righteousness, or either you're walking in condemnation. You can't hide it. It's in your eyes. It's in your language.
Yes.
You need to be healed and let Jesus say, I know they did you wrong, but I love you anyway. Everybody give yourself a hug, amen.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Everybody, close your eyes. If you haven't received Jesus as your Lord, say this is for you.